The Dentalpreneur Podcast. Okay, doctor, it's time to put down that handpiece. You're listening to the show dedicated to helping dentists get their lives back. It's time to decrease your stress, increase your profitability, and regain your passion. Now introducing your host, Dr. Mark Costas.
Welcome to the podcast. This episode is being sponsored by my book, Pillars of Dental Success: Systems and Strategies to Streamline the Marketing and Management of the Modern Dental Practice. If you'd like a free copy, just visit my website at truedentalsuccess.com. That's truedentalsuccess.com. And while you're there, feel free to pick up my free video entitled Cracking the Top 1%, which is a live keynote presentation that I gave on practice systemization and overhead control. Two great resources completely for free for the listeners of this podcast. Now, on to the show. Hello, everyone. I've got a really exciting announcement to make. The fact that you're listening to this podcast means that you truly understand how much great, actionable content you can get by listening to podcasts. Now, personally, I am a podcast junkie. Every spare second I get, I'm listening to podcasts, both dentally related and non-dentally related. But did you know that there are now over 30 podcasts dedicated to helping you become a better dentist and dental practice owner? Some of dentistry's most well-respected names are podcast hosts. So not too long ago, a few of my friends, Dr. Alan Mead and Dr. Jason Lipscomb from the Dental Hacks podcast, as well as Dr. Sean Vandeviver, started talking about how cool it would be to host a live event and invite some of the biggest names in dental podcasting. So here's the big announcement. Drum roll, please. On January 27th and 28th in Nashville, Tennessee, Dr. Alan, Dr. Jason, Dr. Sean, and I are hosting the first annual Voices of Dentistry Summit. And here's what's really, really exciting. Listen to this impressive lineup. So far, here's who's committed to be a presenter here at this event: Dr. Tarun Agarwal, Dr. Michael Ditola, Dr. Justin Moody, Dr. Wes Mullins, Dr. Bilal Saib, Dr. Russell Kirk, Dr. Chris Griffin. We have Gary Takish, Jamie Amos, Dr. David Maloney, Jonathan Van Horn, and that is just to name the people that have committed so far. So without saying, this is probably one of the most impressive lineups of presenters of any dental event I've ever seen. So I am super, super excited. Not only am I excited because I'm a nerd and I love podcasts and these guys are like mini celebrities to me, but also I haven't met many of these people in person. So I am really super excited just to be an attendee, but to also to be hosting is just a huge honor. We're envisioning a format unlike you've ever experienced, with live interviews on clinical and practice management stuff. There will be lots of breakout sessions, many, many chances for audience interaction, great food, great times to be had by all. This is going to be an incredible show. So if you'd like to attend, we'd love to have you there. All you have to do is simply go to Voices of Dentistry, voicesofdentistry.com. So that's my big announcement. I can't wait for this event. I'm really looking forward to being able to rub elbows with you guys, seeing you and meeting you in person, and meeting all these incredible presenters and their audiences as well. So we look forward to seeing you there. And now on to the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Dentalpreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Mark Costas, and today we have a very interesting guest. His name is Jordan Comstock. I'm going to tell you a little bit about him here. Jordan is a tech entrepreneur and has been in dentistry for over 10 years. He started out in the industry as a dental lab technician for Salt Lake Dental Lab. Jordan studied business, marketing, and UX design, user experience design, and has started multiple companies. Currently, he is the founder of Boom Cloud Apps, a software company that allows dentists to have a system to create, organize, and automate an in-house membership program. How are you doing today, Jordan?
I'm doing good, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. So thank you so much for being with us. People have been throwing your name around, people that I know very well. My good friend Chris Torres, who also handles a lot of my insurance needs, sent your name my way. My good friend Ben Tuanay, A lot of you guys know him as Veritas Solutions, which is a PPO negotiator. He sent your name my way. And everybody's saying that I need to have you on the show. So thank you so much for joining us here today. And I love the topic that we're going to talk about, which is membership plans.
Yeah, I love it too. It's a good one.
Yeah, for sure. So tell us about your history in dentistry and tell us what a membership plan is.
Yeah, so first, my history in dentistry, like it said in the bio, I've been in the dental industry for over 10 years. I started out as a dental lab technician, basically because I couldn't find a job in the recession, and my dad he owned a dental lab, and he's like, "Hey, you should come work at the lab, and you know, you can have full reign and you can manage it." And I'm like, "Okay, let's do it." So that's how I kind of got rolled into the dental industry.
Was it fixed or removable?
We did both. We were a full service dental lab. They're still running today. In fact, I have a twin brother, and he works there still today.
Awesome.
That's how I got rolled into the dental industry. And at the time, I was working there, and I was going to school and studying, like you said, UX design. And basically, my dad's lab, they didn't have a website, and that's kind of what got me started into tech. It intrigued me, so I basically just built their website and started messing around with technology. And at the same time, I was studying marketing, and I moved to a marketing role in the dental lab and started going out and researching and talking to dentists every day. And I found that a strategy that they were trying to do is create these in-house membership programs. And I was curious, and I just started asking, most of them didn't have a system to help automate and manage the whole thing. So I'm like, I think I can create something for this. So that's how I got started with everything with memberships, with an in-house membership program software.
So to be clear, you don't have, because I've had other people on the show that have actually been selling an in-house plan. You don't have an in-house plan that you're selling. You're furnishing the application to help run it.
Exactly. Yeah. So we've built a tool to help practices create, organize, and automate their in-house membership program. We don't sell plans or anything. We do have like templates that they can use to create their plan, but it's basically a tool that helps them manage the whole thing.
Awesome. Okay. So walk us through exactly how it works, and you can use my in-house plan as an example. I have 5 practices right now, soon to be 7, and we have my in-house plan that I created several years ago, many, many years ago, geez, right with my very first dental practice, is called Ambassador Dental Plans. And what we do is we just basically took my full fee schedule, and we discounted it by, I don't know, I think 20, 25%. And then we charge people. For an individual, it costs $119 for a year. For a family, it costs $149 per year. And then they pay a registration fee for the first timer. And a $20 registration fee for an individual, a $30 registration fee for a family. And whoever sells that treatment plan, or I'm sorry, whoever sells the membership plan, anybody on my team, while they're delivering a treatment plan, they get to keep the registration fee. So they either get a $20 bump or a $30 bump. So that might be a little something different than you've heard before. But that gets them incentivized, especially with fee-for-service patients, to both sell the plan and to sell the treatment plan. Because if the patient doesn't say yes to the treatment plan, they're not going to say yes to buying the discount dental plan. So that's my incentive for my girls to really, really hone their treatment plan presentation skills.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that you do that incentive. That's cool. So basically, I see a lot of these plans. So I'll explain to you kind of what, you know, our software does and how it manages it. So basically, a lot of practice will have these yearly plans just like yours, or some of them even have monthly plans. I don't know if you've seen those around.
Yeah, I have.
So basically what our software does is it has a piece of this in the software where you can create the plans. There's a plan builder where you can structure the plans, the pricing and everything. It basically automates every single payment. Think of it as Amazon Prime for your dental practice, right?
Okay.
Are you an Amazon Prime user?
I am.
Remember?
I am.
So Amazon Prime is an automation, right? You automatically pay it every year, and Amazon Prime doesn't call you up and say, "Hey, Mark, do you want to maybe renew your plan with us?" Right? It's all automated.
Sure.
So what our software does is automates all the payments, whether they're monthly or yearly, for a membership program.
Okay.
For the dental practice, and then it also we have like benefit tracking, so the office managers or staff members can go in and go into a patient's account and then track all the benefits that they have received. And then it also integrates right into their website so patients can sign up online for the membership program.
Okay. Okay. So it's the same thing, right? It's
yep. Yeah. What you're doing. Yep. It's very similar.
So it's kind of person to person. The people on the ground floor, like boots on the ground in the dental offices, are actually selling the plan, usually to people that don't have traditional dental insurance.
Exactly.
And it's a tool that you can use. A discount dental plan or a membership plan is a tool that you can use to help close a treatment plan. And what we do is we have the fee schedule for our discount plan loaded into the computer. So we bring up a full fee for, say, a $7,000 treatment plan, and then the discount fee, which is, you know, say $5,600. So they save $1,400 by spending $120. So it's a no-brainer for the patient that's really serious about getting their treatment done. It's like, yeah, I'll spend $120 to save $1,400. So
mm-hmm, yep.
It's a really easy sale. So, okay. So from that point there, they fill out the paperwork. We run their credit card and they are a member. So at what point do you step in, or is there a physical kind of loading their data into your software? How does that work?
Like loading their plans and everything in our software? Is that what you're talking
about? Yeah, loading the plan or loading the actual, you know, the payment and all that stuff. That, do you guys get involved with payment, or is that still within the dental practice?
Yep. So the software automatically charges the patient's card and then puts them in an automation schedule for the practice. And yeah, so in the back end of our software, we use a merchant service that handles all of that, all the automation, whether it's monthly or yearly. And that's how that works on that end.
Okay. So say you have $12 a month plan instead of charging the $120 at the end of the year.
Uh-huh.
Your software can ding their card $12 each month?
Yep, exactly.
I like that.
Exactly what it does. It's just, yeah, it's a big piece of it is the automation and this tracking of the program. I'm a big fan of systems and processes. I've heard you talk about it as well on your show,
mm-hmm.
Mark, and you know, that's exactly what it does for a practice and allows them to create these programs and have a system to manage it. Because what I've seen talking to practices across the nation is someone will try to do it manually and it ends up crumbling because they don't have a system to follow, right? Or for example, the office manager is the one that's pushing it and organizing it all, but then maybe she gets laid off or quits, then the program crumbles. But having a system in place allows the dental practice to really, you know, have something that's stable and consistent no matter who's working on it.
Awesome. You sound like the kind of guy that would have designed something slick, like a dashboard or real-time statistics. And I'm not trying to be sarcastic here. Just that is what I feel like I'm lacking, like being able to pull up a program and see who's about to expire, how much they've spent, how much they've saved using the plan. Do you have that sort of tool within your system?
Yeah. So we've got a dashboard and a system. If you go to our website, you'll be able to see a snippet of the dashboard that we've designed, that allows you to really look at all the metrics of your program, like cancellation rates and obviously revenue, and a few other things. But, I'm big into dashboards.
Can you talk us through, I know we just kind of talk us through verbally and we can kind of picture what you're talking about, what the dashboard looks like.
Yeah, let me pull it up so I can look at it, so I don't have to try to visually think
sure.
about it here.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, basically, once you log into the software, the practice will see a dashboard and a notification center. Hold on, real quick. Let me. Whoever is managing it, or you know, will be able to have access to these stats. So the practice will be able to see monthly recurring revenue or yearly recurring revenue. They'll also be able to see the total members in their program. It's funny. I talked to dentists across the nation that have existing programs, and I always ask, so how many members do you have in your program? And they're like, I don't know. I'm like, that's kind of an important number.
I have no idea either. So yeah, I don't.
Yes. So nice. the software and the dashboard allows you to visually see the total members, the new members added in the current month. Mm-hmm. So a lot of practices will have goals with their staff and say, hey, we want to sign up X amount of patients a month. And that metric allows them to follow that day to day and see where they're at with their goal. And then, like I said before, it tracks member churn, which is also, it's also called attrition or cancellation rate.
Okay.
And obviously the lower that number, the better, because it shows that you're retaining your patients in this program. Mm-hmm. And then it shows member growth on a month-to-month basis. And then on the dashboard, it has we call it the live stream, but it's basically a notification center that says when patients were added, when patients' cards were billed, if there's any issues with any cards, it alerts you all on the dashboard.
That is awesome. Gosh, I could totally use this. So talk to us about the legalities of discount dental plans. I know that there's some verbiage that you can use and you can't use. You can't call a membership program insurance. You can't call a membership program dental benefits. So tell us about some of the legal stuff that we have to avoid if we're going to attempt to put one of these membership programs out there.
Yeah. You know, I get that question all the time. And you know, what I see out there is obviously there's regulations in every state. They're different. Some states don't have regulations, or they just copy another state.
Yeah.
But pretty much like you said, the most common regulations out there is you can't call it dental insurance, which is obvious, I hope, because it's not.
And if you do that, you fall into under the jurisdiction of your state insurance commission, which nobody wants to be under that jurisdiction.
Exactly. Yeah. So don't call it a dental insurance, cause it's not a risk bearing model.
Right.
And then a lot of the regulations are you gotta have a disclaimer on your marketing copy, on your marketing materials that say that it's not dental insurance. Another regulation out there is that you gotta have an agreement. And that varies from state to state, but I mean, if I were doing this program, I would have agreement, even if my state didn't require it, because it's just good business sense. Mm-hmm. We got to have an agreement. And then there's some states that require you to get a license, like California and I think Florida and a few other states. They require you to get a license. I have been talking to the state of California recently and working with the person there, just kind of understanding how they structure this type of program. And basically, like in California, I'm sure it seems like Florida's the same way, because we do have some customers in Florida that have sent us the process of Florida. But basically, with California and other states that require you to do a license, they just have you answer a questionnaire and submit your plans in, and then they determine if you need a license or not to sell this type of membership program.
So do you have any type of templates, or do you offer any help for people that want to put their own membership, in-house membership program in place? Particularly because this is a selfish question, because because I have one going in Arizona right now, and I did have an attorney help me with that, but I don't know if he specialized in this sort of thing, and I don't know if he did everything right. And then in California, I have two dental practices in California, and I'm just wondering if it's even worth trying to put one together there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely worth it. I know we've got a handful of customers in California that use our software, and I know and we've got a few that are interested in using us, and we've guided them on what they need to do. So inside of our software, we have a piece called regulation management. Mm-hmm. And basically when you register, it knows where your practice is located, and it alerts the practice on any known regulations in their state. So yeah, I guess we do help with that, but obviously we're not attorneys, and we're just not attorneys, so we don't do any of the legal stuff. I do recommend hiring an attorney for agreements and a few things like that. But yeah, our regulation management definitely helps guide practices across the nation on what they need to do.
So how many people, how many states are you servicing right now? How many clients do you have in how many states?
Oh, that's a big question. We've got customers across the nation, and then we've also got customers starting to come in from other countries, which is crazy. I don't remember every single state we're in, but I know, a lot of our customers are on the East Coast. We do have, obviously customers across the nation, but it seems like the big chunk is on the East Coast. I don't know why, but that's for some reason, that's how it goes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But yeah, we've got a lot of customers across the nation, in various states.
How much does it cost to, acquire your service? Is it a monthly charge? Is there an upfront charge? And, what have you seen is the ROI on the investment?
Yeah, those are great questions. So yes, we do charge a setup fee. We do have a self-service model. If basically the setup fee covers training, and we give them a digital marketing kit for their dental practice to use, like a video that explains to their patients what a membership program is, and a few other like social media kits and stuff.
Cool.
So yeah, if they want the setup fee, or if they want to pay for the setup fee and get the training and the kit, we charge $9.99, just a one-time setup fee. Mm-hmm. And then the monthly license is just $1.99 a month per location, and that covers all the support and unlimited new updates to the software. So that's kind of how it works. And then on a ROI end, I'm seeing a across the nation, it's interesting. We've got practices that have signed up. For example, there was a practice in, I think they're in Wyoming. They signed up, and the next day they had five patients signed up on their membership program, paying $30 a month. So a lot of these practices are easily implementing and easily selling their patients once they implement the plans in the practice,
Yeah. Great. So do you have any members out there, or have you heard of anybody using this as a new patient generation tactic? For instance, instead of selling the practice, they're selling the plan. And then when somebody decides that they want to buy a plan, then they come into their office because they're the provider of that plan. Have you ever heard of that?
So say that again. Sorry.
So I know it's kind of, so for instance, say we are a dental practice and we're using traditional direct mail to try to attract patients. Right. Mm-hmm. We give an offer and we say, call this number. And you can get a new patient exam for $19.95. Okay. That's a marketing tactic, advertising your practice. Do you have any members out there that are advertising, say, on a same type of postcard that says, join our dental plan and you'll save 30% off your dental fees for uninsured people out there, people that don't have dental insurance. And then when they call about the plan drives them to that practice. Is anybody doing that? Okay.
Oh yeah, a lot of people are doing that. In fact, there's a practice here in Utah that I've when I first had the idea to create the software, they were the practice that I would go to and ask advice about how they're managing their own system. And they right now they have 8 practices that's their main marketing tool is pushing this program out to the people in Utah, and it's worked very well for them. They've, like I said, they've been able to grow to 8 locations. And then I know.
And can I just ask, have you seen one of their marketing pieces when they use it in their advertising? Are they saying, come to Utah Dental Group and then you can buy this dental plan, or do they advertise just the plan and then the plan sends them to Utah Dental Group?
They advertise just the plan is what I've seen. There's a couple practices that do that here that I've seen. Okay. I've even seen on billboards. I'm like, hey, that's cool.
Oh, wow. Really? On billboards?
I'm like, wow, billboards, that's expensive. But hey, that's cool that they're advertising their program.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is I've always thought that if you could get a billboard and it would probably be a loss leader just for the plans. You probably couldn't sell enough plans to justify a $2,000 a month billboard. But
yeah,
people that saw the plan or saw that billboard, inquired about it, and then became a new patient, then you could easily justify a new patient for, you know, a handful of new patients for $2,000.
Totally.
A month.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then you get, I mean, because the membership program is not only the membership fees, but you can do treatment plans on those patients.
Yeah,
still.
It's revenue.
You know, there's two streams of revenue right there, the membership fee and then obviously doing the treatment plans for the patient. So yeah, that's, and I'm assuming that's what this practice did here in Utah with the billboard, because I'm like, whoa, that's really expensive to advertise there.
It is. Billboards are crazy. I have one. It's not cheap.
Yeah.
That's awesome. This is really cool. So $1,000, and then $199 a month. And then, tell us about, do you have like sample, direct mail pieces? And because you talked a little bit about the internal marketing stuff with the videos and stuff, but do you also have sample external marketing pieces?
We, in the marketing kit we give them, it comes with like a brochure template. I haven't got much into the external marketing side of it.
Okay.
That's definitely something that we've considered creating more marketing kits, I call them, to provide for all of our customers. Mm-hmm. That's definitely been on my mind lately. And I've had a few dentists say, hey, could you like create a template presentation that, you know, we can sit down and present like a PowerPoint presentation to the office. I'm like, yeah, I'll throw that in the marketing kit. So, but yeah, I mainly focus on the internal, but external, marketing definitely works with these types of programs like direct mail, like you mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. A lot of practices use direct mail, to drive this, you know, the new patients to sign up for the program. And a few other practices that I have talked to, that did something kind of interesting. They targeted senior citizens or 55 and up communities, people are getting ready to retire, and they've really advertised to them, and because that demographic loses their dental benefits, and this type of program is, you know, definitely helps give that type of demographic a benefit to come to the practice.
Today's episode is being brought to you by JetLab, home of the $77 zirconia crown. If you're looking for an exceptional dental lab that's both affordable and reliable, visit jetlabservices.com. That's JETLabServices.com and order a starter kit. This is the lab that I personally use for all of my crown and bridge, and I couldn't be happier with their consistency and awesome customer service. So here you go and enjoy the episode. Okay, so I know that I'm kind of tech challenged, let's just say that. I'm tech challenged. So if this was going to be me, and I sell a plan, just walk me through exactly what it looks like. So are you going to change the intake forms that people, because I have, you know, my intake forms, I have my membership agreement, I have my piece of paper that collects their credit card information, and then we have our person run that credit card. So what would change from what I am currently doing? Are people going to be filling out their information on a tablet now, or is it still going to be regular pieces of paper and we're going to transfer it? Just talk me through exactly from the time that they decide they're going to purchase a plan to getting uploaded onto your software.
Okay, yeah, that's a great question. You're able to do both, right? If you have paper agreements and everything in your practice already, you can, you know, sign them up and then upload that the agreement to the software. But what most people do when they use our software is they do use an iPad in the front office.
Okay.
And they enroll the patients online. And the reason why I like to, you know, push for that is because then your staff member is not bogged down on enrolling somebody manually, right? And entering those details into the computer if that's what you're doing.
Yeah, that's what we're doing right now. So it's a time suck.
Yeah. So basically, that's all you need to do is the software integrates right into the practice website. You can have an iPad in your front office and they can just tap on the plans, view the plans that you're offering, and then select a plan and then start the enrollment process right from the iPad or even their home computer, right, since it's online. So that's how a patient would enroll. You could also enroll the patient manually, but you do that through the software internally. You basically click add new member, and then it takes you through a digital enrollment process to enroll that patient.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that does seem – yeah, it does. That does seem a lot of time. I like that.
Yeah.
All right. So when creating and implementing a membership program, tell me about some potential pitfalls, or do you have any advice for, I guess, red flags? For people to avoid when they're putting these programs together.
Yeah. So the things that I see that I discourage, you know, you got to avoid these things. The first thing is practices not having an agreement. I think this is critical. There's a lot of practices out there that have these plans, but they don't have an agreement. You know, it sounds basic, but that's you got to have an agreement with these types of programs. It's just good business sense. Another thing that I like to talk about is auto renewals. A lot of practices don't think about the future with these types of programs, because this program will not only attract patients to your practice, but it could be used as a retention tool. And what these practices do is they just say, okay, yeah, you pay X amount the first year, but then they don't, in the agreement, they don't talk about it's going to auto-renew. Like, think of it as Amazon Prime for your dental practice. Amazon Prime auto-renews every year. So this is a good strategy to get into to retain and to grow this type of program is to make it auto-renew with your patients. So that's a thing I see. And a good example of that is, I was talking to a practice a couple months ago, and they had signed up hundreds of patients on their yearly program, but then it pretty much all expired at the end of the year, and their staff was stressed out because they had to call all of those patients and try to renew them. So having some type of auto renewal is definitely a good strategy for the dental practice. Another thing to avoid is there's some practices out there that will store their financial data on Google Docs, which is a very it's not very secure for financial data. And in fact, my Google Docs got hacked a few months ago, and if I had financial data on that, I would be in some big trouble. My patients or my, you know, people that my customers wouldn't be happy with me. So that's a big thing that I've seen a couple of practices they were doing is storing the financial data on Google Docs.
So it's I'm just assuming not what you're alluding to is that you guys are secure and that can't.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. So we're PCI compliant and HIPAA compliant as well.
Awesome.
So yeah, security is essential, especially when you're dealing with both patient data and financial data. You know, so those are some of the things to avoid there. And then I thought I just had one, but I forgot.
I do. I ask these compound questions where I ask five questions at a time. I gotta work on that.
It's all right.
So to talk us through some of the, you know, there's a passive income kind of element to this too. What are some of the price points that people are charging for these, and what type of impact, you know, passive income impact have you seen in some of the clients that you represent?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's, I love passive income. I like to call it recurring revenue or residual. But yeah, there's definitely that element to this type of program. Simply recurring revenue or passive income will increase the value of any business, any practice, right? If you can implement that into your practice, it's going to create stability and predictability on a financial level. And then on some examples, I've seen some practices do quite a bit of recurring revenue with these types of programs. One of the examples recently that I've seen is a practice that was doing around $30,000 a month of recurring revenue. Whether they did dentistry or not, this is just all the membership fees, right?
That's impressive.
Yeah, it's a wonderful tool for this. And I know Ben Tune, when he was working at his dental practice, not his dental practice, but the practice he used to work at.
Yeah, he was an office manager, wasn't he? Yeah.
He did office management and I think finance or insurance stuff at the practice. But he had told me that their in-house membership program was generating close to $100,000 a month in recurring revenue, which is insane. And I know there was multiple practices what he was involved with, but that's the example that he told me when I first met him. He's like, yeah, these are great because this is what I've seen you doing it in the practices I've worked with in the past. And I'm like, oh man, that's crazy.
Yeah,
you know. But essentially, having recurring revenue is just a wonderful thing. I've been in businesses that don't have it, and it's extremely hard to run. And I know in dentistry, you know, you have those slow months as well, right? I don't know if you see that, Mark, but when I was in dentistry, when I was at the dental lab, we'd always be talking to the dentists that were sending us crowns and dentures, and we'd always hit those slow months with them, and they were slow, we were slow, and it was rough. And if you can stabilize the finances in a dental practice with recurring revenue, it's a lot less stressful to run, and it's just predictable, and it's awesome.
Yeah, agreed. So from a price point perspective, are you looking at, am I way cheap at $120 per individual and $160 for family? Because I've heard people that are charging like $400 plus per year. Or
yeah, it varies. I think there's these aren't Arizona, these plans here.
Yeah, we're kind of central, rural-ish Arizona, but some of my practices are in more metropolitan areas.
I've seen around that same price range in Arizona. I don't know if that's just what the market will pay for there. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you probably know your patient base way better than I do. But I have seen those plans. And then on the East Coast, I do see a lot of like the $300 a year, $400 a year. Well, in fact, I was talking to a practice in Texas today, and that's around the range they were doing as well. And it just varies. It varies on what you're offering. And obviously, as you know, the more value you add to something, the more people are willing to pay for it. And that's essentially what you can do with your existing plans, add more value and see if you can charge more for it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't think you're low with where you're at. And again, it varies. I don't know the exact discounts and benefits you're giving to your patients, but it definitely varies from practice to practice.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest, the way that I priced mine, this is probably 10 years ago. The way that I priced it is I went to dentalplans.net and I just looked at what the other discount dental plans were charging, and they were charging anywhere from 50 to $299. So I just picked right in the middle.
And that's actually a great strategy, because the cool thing is, and I do use that resource with a lot of practices that are just stuck on wanting to know what to do with the pricing of a plan. Mm-hmm. But that's a great resource because dentalplans.com, they've done all the research for you, and they've probably got a lot of patients using that service to get discounts. So yeah, that's definitely a great resource. In fact, even Ben Tune is I've heard him mention that that's a great resource for figuring out the costs of your membership program, because then you type in your zip code and you can see all the plans and the average price.
Sure. So tell me this, you seem like a stat kind of guy. Do you know the difference between the renewal success rate for the monthly versus the yearly? Because I do know that if I was going to break mine down to monthly, right, and it was $120 per year, $10 per month is one of those nuisance charges that people almost won't call in anywhere to cancel, right? That's the way gyms survive, right? So it's not.
that's why I'm still subscribed to my gym.
That's right. It's like we have one in town called $10 Gym or something like that, and it basically it's like $10 a month, and they just get thousands of people to join. So the model works, right? So
yes,
and who's? I mean, it's like, oh, I look at my statement. It's like $10 a month. I really got to call to cancel that. And the next thing you know, you're 14 months later, and it's $140 in their bank account just because you couldn't pick up the phone because it's a nuisance fee. So what's more successful, renewing on the big one-time kind of $119 at one time, or renewals on just squeaking another $10 by them for another 3 or 4 or 5 months?
That's a great question. And that's actually something I'm doing a lot of research on right now. We're trying to create a case study to show, you know, hey, the monthly plans, you're retaining more people. That's something that we are actually researching right now. But from what I've seen out there, the higher the membership fee, like the yearly membership fee, the less people will join it. But if it's broken down on a monthly, people will join it, right? So your fees aren't extremely high of what I've seen out there, and I would imagine that are you having issues with people signing up? Are they like, whoa, that's way too much? Or are they saying, yeah, that sounds like a great deal?
I never have any pushback for it, which means it may be underpriced. But I do. I use it more as a treatment plan acceptance tool than a passive income generating tool. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Nope, that makes perfect sense. Yeah. And yeah, there's different uses, just like how you're using yours. A lot of practice out there. Have used it just like how you're using it, or they want to create a bunch of passive income to stabilize their practice, you know? So, I mean, it really depends on how you'd like to structure that. But if you're not getting any pushback, I'd experiment with increasing the prices on that. You know, cause yeah, that's a good sign there that you can increase the pricing.
Yeah, we get between, I would say, in my flagship practice, we get between 25 and 35 sales per month.
Cool.
And then my smaller practices will get between 12 and 15 per month. And then, my startup practices are mostly non-insurance based people. So most of the people are accepting those plans just to get a discount on the cleaning. So. Mm-hmm. I mean, you add all those up together. If you have five practices and you're doing decent in each of them, it's a fair amount of residual income. And that particular account, the way that I do it, is I don't even look at it, and I don't really even take any money out of it. And I just kind of look at it. I look at it at the end of the year. I pay the 30% for tax, and it's like, hey man, let's go on vacation. You know, I didn't even didn't think about it all year. You know,
that's awesome. Yeah, that's great. You know, that's at the end of the year, it's a nice little surprise. Like, oh yeah, that was going this whole year.
Yeah, I'll pay off my truck this year. Yeah,
I'll pay off my truck this year.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. So yeah. I got to ask you, because I'm an entrepreneur at heart. So when I hear of a system like this, my entrepreneur spidey senses start tingling. It's like, oh, how can I use this to my advantage? Because somebody has a complete infrastructure basically for a business, and all it is $200 a month, and I would probably pay a team $2,000 a month to watch this
manually
if it was a business, right? So
yep.
How many people out there, and I'm throwing this out as a meatball to anybody that is entrepreneurial and they don't have a dental degree, or even if they do and they want a side business, this is something to think about. So how about if I just wanted to start Mark Costas Dental Plan, and I wanted to go out there with a sales rep or myself and say, hey, will you be a provider on my plan? And you go out there and you get 150 dentists. And I'm not saying this because I haven't done it before, wink, wink, because I have. Because Ambassador Dental Plan has about 150 providers through the Phoenix, Tucson, and Northern Arizona area. But I've never, ever marketed it. And it's a dead list by now. But I had people that were, I sent out packets and I said, here's what you do. Well, you know, signing up for this will allow your patients to save this much money. Once we get a critical mass of patients, we'll start sending them your way. And, but I was going to have to hire a staff and get a pretty robust software together in order to roll this business out. Has anybody used your platform to do that sort of business that wasn't, you know, necessarily trying to make money within their dental practice, but they wanted to make money with their plan?
I've recently have had some people kind of talking about what you just explained there, which kind of was interesting to me. But nobody yet has used it to do that, but I'm sure they definitely could. I know there's a couple of big groups that I have been speaking with that are interested in doing something to that degree. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's definitely interesting how that mindset that you have there, the entrepreneurship. I love it. I'm sure you definitely could manage something like that with our software.
Yeah, you're just gonna have to figure out. Obviously, I'm not gonna do this. I'm busy enough with my dental practices and my consultancy and my speaking and everything that I do. But I mean, from your business perspective, from your entrepreneurial perspective, please don't allow somebody just to charge them $199 to run their entire business on your platform. I mean, you're gonna have to say, I'm gonna tell you right now, you're gonna have to say, okay, you don't own a dental practice and you are just an entrepreneur that's trying to utilize my software. For you, there's gonna be a premium for me to manage your database on our software. So in your case, it's $2,000 a month instead of $199, and they'd still probably be like, "Well, that's great. I don't have to hire a room full of people to manage this thing." Sure, $2,000 is a great deal. So
yeah, and we definitely. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, so I would recommend that you have a different price point for those types of people.
Oh yeah, so we go through a vetting process when somebody signs up. So not anybody can sign up to our software. They have to be a medical practice, mm-hmm. A dental, or we even got like optometrists that are really interested in this type of service. Which I'm like, that's interesting.
No, that's cool.
But yeah, just not anybody can sign up with our service because we accept like HSA credit cards and we don't allow just any business to come say, yep, I want to use your service. They have to be a medical practice.
Yeah, that's cool. I know I have a bunch of friends that are podiatrists. They're very, very entrepreneurial. They'd be interested in this. I have a lot of veterinary friends that are vets that would be really interested in this sort of thing.
I was actually kind of thinking about that today. I'm like, there's so many people out there that love their dog that would be willing to pay like some type of membership fee to get benefits for their dog's health.
My dog Bear is 1 foot from me right now. He is my, we call him my service dog 'cause he keeps me calm. So he comes everywhere. Whenever I have a day that's not a clinical day, he comes everywhere with me. And he does all of my podcasts with me. He's sitting right next to me right here.
That's awesome, man.
I'm petting him right now. But my dog has cost me so much money. He's had two knee surgeries and he had a spinal stroke and he's only 2 years old. And this dog has cost me so much money. If I had a discount card, I could have saved thousands of dollars on this dog. Yeah.
So, no, really, dog. I mean, I got two dogs as well. I got two dogs, and they're big dogs.
Yeah.
And they're expensive. So, I'm thinking the same way. Yeah, if I had that membership program, I probably would go to the vet more with my dogs.
Yeah.
Or take my dogs to the vet more.
Yeah. But, so I would say definitely approach if you wanted to be proactive about this. I mean, geez. If you talk about podiatrists, 25,000 podiatrists in the United States. I don't know how many, veterinarians there are in the United States, but there's only 25,000. So it's a much smaller market, and they don't have as deep of pockets as dentists do. So you selected the right niche to start with. But if you want to be proactive about finding verticals, then there's a lot of different verticals that you could use the same exact process with. You just have to get familiar with their pricing model and what a fair discount exactly. would be. But you could leave that up to them to figure out what they would accept, and you could just kind of integrate your software into their companies. But yeah, you had to get on my other podcast, the Six Figure Side Gig podcast, and we could talk all about how to expand into different verticals. That would be awesome.
Ooh, yeah, I'd love that. I'm a big entrepreneur. I love this stuff. It's fun. I'm constantly thinking of new ideas, and I'm constantly reading business books. My wife thinks I'm crazy, pretty much.
My wife just rolls her eyes and says, "All right, whatever. If you don't want to talk to me and you want your earbuds in, that's fine. Just do the dishes while you're listening."
Well, yeah, while you're listening, do the dishes and change the diapers in my family.
Yeah,
that's what I gotta do.
How many do you got?
I've got one little girl. She just turned two.
Oh, how old are you, Jordan?
I'm 30.
Oh, you're a young man.
See, yeah, don't tell anybody though.
Yeah, but I mean, I would trust somebody under 35 more than I would trust somebody my age. And I'm not going to mention what that is. Somewhere in the 40s to do
no
this
way.
Sort
no,
of thing.
No, you look younger.
Oh, well, thank you. Because, oh my gosh, like. I know that this is going out to 120. This particular episode is going out to 125 countries, probably tens of thousands of dental professionals listening to our voices right now. But I would say 60-70% of them are under 35 years old because your generation understands tech. They know what a podcast is,
yeah.
and so this is the audience that we're talking to. But I would trust you to do this sort of thing and to develop this sort of thing. Probably more than somebody closer to my age, for sure.
Yeah, no, it's and you know, all my partners and founders are about the same age as me. Well, they're a little bit older. I'm the youngest, but they're very smart. They're even smarter than me when it comes to technology. And I thought I was pretty smart, but they ramble on there with their code and programming talk, and I'm like, well, guys. Can you break that down for me a little bit?
A little over my head, man. I was buried in. I was doing dentures 2 years ago. Come on, take it easy on the technical talk.
Yeah. So, I'm pretty technical, but when you get those like hardcore programmers talking, and it's like a different language, man. You know, and I'm starting to understand more of it. But they're smart guys on my team here.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. So the take-home message here for sure is if you have a fee-for-service practice or you have a practice that is a PPO fee-for-service blend, you owe it to yourself to offer some sort of discount plan. And if you're offering a discount plan, why not be the recipient of the passive income, right?
And if it
is nothing more than the management of that discount plan that's holding you back from pulling the trigger and implementing something like that into your practice, then just get involved with Jordan. For $199 a month, it's a no-brainer because I know for a fact the hours that my girls are putting into managing my plan is coming out to more than $200 a month just in hourly wages. So I have to say that I'm probably going to be switching over to your app to manage my plans. It's a no-brainer. It really, really is. And it gives a higher level of accountability and predictability to making sure that the revenue doesn't stop and that the people actually renew, which is a big thing.
Yeah, it's a big thing. Yeah. And again, we would love to have you. You know, we can talk more about it. It's you mentioned something that I see all the time. When practices find out about us, they'll call me like, we've been wanting to do this for years. And then they end up signing up because it's a complete system that they can go in and set up in one day. And you know, the next day they can start signing up members on it. And that's kind of what I see. Yeah, if the system is having a process has been holding these practices back with this type of program. But it's kind of fun to see these practices excited about it.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, Jordan, I know a lot of people are going to be interested to get in touch with you to learn more. Can you offer your contact information and the information for your company, Boom Cloud, to the listeners?
Yeah. So website is www.boomcloudapps.com, and that's BOOMCLOUDAPPS.com. And then if you guys want to contact me, there's a various amount of ways you can contact me. If you go to the website, there's a live chat. You can chat with me. My direct email is Jordan, and that's spelled J-O-R-D-O-N. But if you send it to A-N, yeah, I'll still get it. I put it that place because my parents cursed me with spelling my name weird.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Everybody always messes it up. So it's Jordan at boomcloudapps.com is how you can get in touch with me if you have questions or want to talk more.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I got to applaud you for adding more value to the dental profession and giving, giving, I guess, some creative ways for people to increase their potential passive income, to create another potential passive income stream within their practice. So great job, man.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I enjoy every minute of it.
So thanks once again, ladies and gentlemen, Jordan Comstock. And that wraps it up for another episode of the Dentalpreneur Podcast. I thank you so much for joining us this week, and we'll talk to you next week. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for joining us today on the Dentalpreneur Podcast. Check out TrueDentalSuccess.com for full recaps of every show, a schedule of our live events, free video tutorials, and a whole host of practice-building resources.